Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're taking a look this week at the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what the recent popes have called the eternal Pentecost that gives life to the church. I want to talk about it because it's key to mission. It's key to, it's really the outpouring of the Spirit and living in the mystery, what the recent popes have called the mystery of Pentecost, is key to our being able to be fruitful and to engage effectively the challenge of mission and life in the church today. We all know we're in the midst of a battle. We all know we're in a time of great challenge and really in some ways the discipline of God that's unfolding in the life of the church as the church's sins and weaknesses are being exposed. And in many ways, lots of the efforts the church is making to try to bring about change and to bring people back to the church are not very effective. And part of the reason is that the only way the church grows, the only way the church can be attractive to others is through the work and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I remember years ago, I think it might have been Cardinal Sunens, it might have been Cardinal Ratzinger, I can't remember exactly which said it, but they said the church lives from her two great mysteries, the mystery of the Eucharist and the mystery of Pentecost. And these are two permanent realities that give the church her life, her power, her formation, her capacity for mission, for holiness, all of it flows. You know, we know I spoke last week quite a bit about the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, this kind of open heaven, you might say, kind of analogous to Jacob's ladder, where in the Old Testament, where Jacob in a dream saw a ladder extending from the earth all the way up to heaven. And the heavens were open, and he saw angels ascending and descending. And he woke up, he was just overwhelmed by what he saw. And he said, surely this is a dwelling place of God, a city which he described, changed the name, became Bethel, which means something like worship, right? And it's an analogy that God's desire, it's a foretaste, it's a type that was happening with Jacob of what God was going to fulfill perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? That God desired, and he desires to, and salvation means that God opens heaven, that God comes to dwell with his people, that God wants to share his life with us, and he wants us to be united to the realities of heaven, God himself, the angels, the saints. And the place where we most contact that reality is in the Eucharist. Because it's at that place and in that moment, all over the world, when the sacrifice of Jesus is offered. It's amazing to just stop and think about that for a moment. Every tribe and nation throughout the entire world, God's plan for the salvation of his people, in which he would gather a church, he would gather a people around himself, and he would make present again and again and again until Jesus comes in his second coming to judge the living and the dead throughout the rest of human history. It's why scripture calls this the last hour that we're living in of human history. The sacrifice of Jesus that saves us, this act of love by which we have been saved, that act of love and humility that broke the back of Satan's pride and disarmed the principalities and powers, scripture says, and made it possible for human beings to be washed clean of their sin, for us to be enabled by that act of love to become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy God comes to cleanse us, to free us, to purify us in Jesus, so that we could receive what the Father desired for all of us, the promise. It's the promised Holy Spirit who makes present, who makes us a temple of the living God. The Eucharist is the place where that reality of our union with God is most perfectly expressed, because it's a communion of brothers and sisters who share the exact same spirit. We've all been brought from death to life. We've all been forgiven of our sins and united to the mercy and compassion of Jesus and united to his life and his mission, and we're gathered around that deed that saves us and the gift the Father has given to us in his Son and the gift of the Son's life being offered to the Father. This is the center of all saving reality, you might say, all the work of salvation, of redemption. And we unite ourselves to Jesus, one of us, and he takes us in that moment, and he takes us up into the heavenly places, the eternal banquet that's happening in heaven, the glory of Christ's victory. We touch it right there. And our worship, which is the center of it, the offering of our lives in imitation to Jesus, is happening at that point. And he cleanses us, and he feeds us, and he teaches us, and he models for us how we're supposed to live and what's at the core of all reality. The most important thing for any of us, all of us, is that God has come to make his home in us, that we belong to him. He's come to claim us again. We belong to God. We're his people. We're the people of God. We're gathered together around our Lord who saved us, who's teaching us and leading us, helping us offer ourselves to the Father and to imitate him so we become little Christs and hopefully become saints by imitating Jesus, being fed by him and being taught there in the Eucharist how to live, what really matters, what comes first, that the Lord desires a people cleansed, healed, one new man, Paul says, united, saying yes to the Father and living in his kingdom, living according to his will and his purpose. We live and we will live in this mystery by God's grace until Jesus comes again, when he'll take us to the Father and we will be all in all. Those who say yes to all this will join Jesus and all will be united to the Father, but those who say no will be separated for all eternity. So this great mystery, the mystery of the Eucharist, defines us at a very fundamental level. And at the same time, there's the mystery of Pentecost, the perpetual, constant outpouring of the Spirit for the sake of the salvation of the world that flows from the person of Jesus. The Catechism describes it this way in paragraph 732, talking about the day of Pentecost, that on that day, the Holy Trinity is fully revealed. Since that day, that is Pentecost, the kingdom announced by Christ has been open to those who believe in him. In the humility of the flesh and in faith, they already share in the communion of the Holy Trinity. So what the Catechism is making clear here is that it's on the day of Pentecost, Christ's Passover is fulfilled, paragraph 731, in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' act of sacrifice, his self-offering on Calvary, the pouring out of his blood. And then from the cross, he's saying, what does he do? He said, Father, he offers up his spirit to the Father. It's the spirit that anointed Jesus, the spirit that dwelled in Jesus. It's the spirit that was united to human flesh in Jesus. He offers it up to the Father so that the spirit can be poured out when Jesus is glorified at the right hand of God the Father. Again, Christ's Passover is fulfilled in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, manifested, given, and communicated as a divine person, referring here to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is manifested, he's saying, and is given to us and is communicated to us as a divine person. Of his fullness, Christ the Lord pours out the Spirit in abundance. So where does the Spirit come from? Poured out through the abundance of the life of the Son, the gift of the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Again, paragraph 732. It says, by his coming, that is the Holy Spirit's coming, which never ceases, the Holy Spirit causes the world to enter into the last days, the time of the church, the kingdom already inherited, though not yet consummated. By the way, the Catechism is just such a gift. It's astounding how clear it is. The church's self-understanding, it's very profound and life-changing. But again, let me just underline, the Catechism is teaching us that we're saying that by the coming of the Spirit, which never ceases, that's the point I want to underline. It's not a one-time event. It's not just a historical event that we celebrate once a year to remember it, like, wasn't that amazing what happened 2,000 years ago in that upper room? No, the teaching of the church is very clear. The church is meant to live from that upper room. That is, the Spirit and the outpouring that was present on the life of the apostles is exactly the life every single Catholic is called to be drawn into and to live in and to walk in. We're animated by the Spirit. That's what the church is. The church is made alive by the presence of God drawing so close to us to the point of literally dwelling in us. And so I remember St. John Paul II teaching on confirmation at one point, and he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, I think it was, where Jesus says, after he had come out of the waters of baptism and made his way through the desert and under the anointing of the Spirit did battle against Satan, and then he went to Nazareth, to his hometown, and he took up the Isaiah scroll, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." That passage, Jesus said, "Today this passage is fulfilled in your hearing." I'm the one this passage is speaking about, Jesus said. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. And in him, heaven and earth come together. And the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit, was there at the beginning of creation and upholds all things, is present in the person of Jesus. And it's through that working of the Spirit that Jesus brings down the kingdom of Satan. He works signs and wonders to the glory of the Father. He raises the dead. He gives sight to the blind. He heals the sick, lepers, and the rest of it. And he engages in a spiritual battle where real power and real authority goes out from him to break the powers of darkness. That's because he's got the anointing. The anointing's in him. The Spirit of God is the anointing that Jesus is talking about. And Pope John Paul II said, every baptized and confirmed Catholic can look in the mirror and say, in all truth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. That's possible because, as the Catechism reminds us here, this outpouring of the Spirit never ceases. And it's very important for us to see that the whole life and mission of the Church, life meaning life in God, walking with God, loving neighbor, it's all animated and empowered by the Spirit. We can be certain that in the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the grace and the power that we need to overcome whatever hinders us from both desiring and walking in these commandments and living in them to the point of fulfillment. It's the reason the Holy Spirit's been given, and the Spirit's been given to each one of us to transform our hearts to be able to have Jesus' heart to seek and to save the lost, to have hearts that are broken, tender hearts, loving hearts, merciful hearts, compassionate hearts that have a deep drive to share the kingdom of God with those who don't know it. Friends, may that be each and every one of us beginning today. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.